The Story of Mert and Marge. Let's go backstage today for what seems to be a crisis in our story. In the last episode, Margie Mehta was called to the stage door. There she found her wasteful brother, Jimmy, who demanded money from her. When she told him she had none, he struck her. Sobbing, Margie got back on stage barely in time to make her cue. In just a moment, we'll find out what followed in today's chapter of the story of Mert and Marge. There's a break in the morning rehearsal, and Mert, who doesn't know yet what happened at the stage door, has taken Margie down to the green room.
Now, honey, you just sit down here and rest. You look ready to drop.
Yeah, I'm kind of tired, Mary.
I don't know what happened to you this morning, kid, but I certainly got to hand it to you. You're a swell trooper, Margie. You never miss a step. No one but me saw the tears in your eyes.
You know what Hunt said to me?
What did he say?
He said, "Mert, your judgment's as good as mine." I said, "Well, you didn't choose her." He said, "Oh, but I'm choosing you, baby." Margie, I bet I'd blush for the first time in 20 years. He said, "Oh, go on." Funny how the right man always makes you say the wrong thing.
Oh, it feels good. Take off your shoes, honey, and wiggle your toes. Have a cigarette?
I don't smoke, Mary.
Well, that's good. But I need one right now for my naked nerves. Here, I'm all set. Now, go ahead. Spell it, Marge.
I didn't have a chance to talk to you this morning, but I want to tell you all about it. You seem like a good friend to me.
You can depend on me, dear.
The man at the door was Jimmy.
Your brother?
Yes.
But your face was so red and your lips are still swollen.
He hit me.
Your brother hit you? Why, the skunk.
Oh, Myrtle, I never thought he'd ever do that. He asked me for money. Well, I have to begin at the very beginning, as far back as I can remember.
Okay, I'm listening, dear.
One of the first things I can remember was a big moving van. We moved from a crowded little street where the doorsteps were right on the sidewalk. And I can remember Mother saying, "I'm glad to get out of that neighborhood with a wagon tongue." Then we moved to a little white house on the outskirts of town. Oh, I was very happy there.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy was a little boy with so sweet to me. He called me Margie. He couldn't say my words. I gradually became Margie to him and to everyone who knew me. I was the best dressed child in the neighborhood. When I got a little older, I got a bicycle. Jimmy didn't get one. Daddy would give me plenty of spending money, but I always divided with Jimmy. Took piano lessons and then came took the Syracuse and the dancing lessons for 2 years.
Uh-huh.
I was 12 when I started. Jimmy was 5 years older. He seemed to resent everything that was done for me. And as I think back, it did seem unreasonable for me to get so much. Then Jimmy started going around with shiftless boys. Daddy wanted him to go to work, but he seldom spoke to me.
Huh.
I told Dad and Mother of my ambition to go on the stage as soon as I was through high school. And I knew if I could only keep on with my dancing lessons, I could get some work to do in between to help pay for them. Daddy said it wasn't necessary, and I thought he was making plenty of money. Finally, Jimmy did get a job in the garage, but he never had a cent.
Huh.
He shot dice, and he'd come home with liquor on his breath, and Mother worried about him constantly. He'd act so strange, and he wouldn't eat at times, and oh, how he hated me. One day, I came in the back way from school. Dad and Jimmy were in the living room, and I heard Jimmy say,
Dad, I gotta have $100. You gotta give it to me. I owe it to a felon. He's coming to the garage after it tonight.
Jimmy, I told you I haven't it. My business has been so bad lately, I can hardly meet my bills.
Bad, huh? You can always find plenty of money to give your darling Marge with her dancing lessons and her swell clothes. You're never giving me anything.
Listen, son. I'm afraid I'll have to tell you something that I've kept from you all these years. Your mother has begged me not to, but I think it best. Margie is not our child. She is not your sister.
Oh, Myrtle, My heart almost stopped beating. To think the mother and father whom I'd loved so weren't mine.
Oh.
Everything got dark around me, and I didn't hear anymore until Jimmy came past me as I crouched on the floor. He sneered and said, "Here's your breath now." Daddy picked me up, carried me into the bedroom. And Mother came in, and Daddy said, "Alice, I had to tell Jimmy," and Margie overheard. I begged him to tell me everything. It hurt him so, but he told me. It was this way.
"Margie, darling, I don't know who your parents are. You were left in a basket in the hallway in our house. There was a note and 200 in cash in an envelope into your blanket. The note read, 'Her name is Marguerite. She is 4 months old. Please keep her and care for her as your own. Every month you will receive $200 for her care and education.'"
"Well, you see, Myrtle, I just don't know who I am.
But, Margie, honey, it seems as if it should have been easy to trace your real parents.
Daddy said he got lawyers advertised in the papers. He tried every way to locate my parents or the people who left me there.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't have got me in kind of some legal business. Because, you see, I was an abandoned penniless. Every month he received an express order or post office order for $200. A different name signed each time. The envelope would be typewritten and from New York City. But no return address. Mother said they got to love me so much that they finally quit looking for my parents."
"Yeah, Margie, you know, in a way, you were very fortunate. At least, they wanted you.
Daddy could never use all the money on me when I was little, so he started a bank account for me. I got it up to quite a lot when I was 14.
"Did Jimmy get the 100 he was asking for?"
"Yes, I begged Daddy to give it to him. Then Jimmy disappeared. We didn't hear from him for over 6 months. Then Daddy's business started going to pieces on account of the war. I insisted that he used some of my money that was in the bank to help him out. One day I got a circular in the mail telling me all about Wayburn School of Dancing in New York. I wanted to make dancing my vocation. I realized that my help would soon be needed at home. When I came to New York and entered Wayburn. For years, Daddy. Then Jimmy got into some serious trouble again. This time in a defense plant where he was working.
Margie, not a pretty picture, sir.
2 months ago, Daddy wrote that the $200 hadn't come. And it hasn't come since. I had to quit the dancing school and started looking for a job. I thought it would be easy, but it wasn't.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I went to all the agents. They had nothing. I had just $100 left a month ago. Then Jimmy came to me again and told me a man had offered him a job in Chicago. I was so glad, Myrtle. I gave him $90. Because that day an agent had called me up saying he had a job for me at the Red Rooster, a nightclub.
Uh-oh, the Red Rooster. I know that dump.
Jimmy left me and said he'd write me as soon as he got to Chicago and send the money back right away.
Mm-hmm.
I worked 2 nights at that time, but I couldn't stand Myrtle. After the first number, the first night, I went to the dressing room and noticed none of the other girls were in there. They were all in the cafe at tables or dancing in their makeup and costumes. Manager came back and said, "Say, you, what are you doing in here? Get out on the floor with the other hostesses where you belong and hustle up the sucker. Get him to buy drinks." I told him I didn't drink. "I don't care what you drink," he said, "but make them buy. Get out on the floor and do your stuff right now or you're through." I tried, but I couldn't keep the tears back. The manager came over and shoved me into the arms of a big brute of a man and said, "This is Bill Houston. Treat him right." The man grabbed me and made me dance and... Oh, the thing he said, "Come,
I know that Bill Houston. He's a bad actor. And the Red Rooster's a tough hangout. It's run by racketeers and crooks."
Houston wanted to take me home in his car, but I got out of the club without him seeing me. It was about 5 o'clock in the morning. I made up my mind not to go back. But I only had about $8 in the world, Myrtle. So I went back that night. I was sitting alone at a table, and a handsome man came over and said, "May I have this dance?" "I dance with him. He's a little girl. You don't belong here." When he took me back to the table, he put a $5 bill in my hand for dancing with him. Said it was a custom. In desperation, I accepted him. He handed me a note to Horkins, the talent agent.
"No, what is it?"
"It said, 'Dear Joe, try to find something good for this girl. I can't dance her. It was just signed Jack.'"
"Hmm.
He didn't ask my name or tell me his. And the next day I went to the agent with the note. And I waited for 2 weeks. And at last the call came. To report to this theater that Mr. Hunter's an extra girl. You know the rest. Murder, my money, gave out. And you helped me. I told it to us.
Margie, dear, you had a pretty rotten time.
But just think, honey, your life is just as done.
You're only 16. Nah, I want you to stop crying right now. You've got a job and a future. Listen to this. For years, you thought you had parents. I never had any that I know of. I just growed like Topsy, I guess. And someday I'll tell you about it all. But, honey, I quit crying years ago. So dry up now. Dry up. That's right. We'll go out to lunch, and when we come back, we'll go and get that contract signed.
But I'm afraid to go out to stay at his door. Jimmy may be waiting for me. He said he'd have me fired if I didn't get some money for him.
Fired? He hasn't a chance. He's only bluffing, honey. Just let him start anything, and Well, you won't get very far as long as I have my good right arm and my lungs hold out.